Lord, I have started to look shining so bright, the pain so bright. I've been the
We thank you for the songs. Bless now these offerings. Bless these tithes, O Lord. Bless your children. Bless your people. Bless this church, O Lord. And let us going through with the despise of the Lord until the end of the judgment, O Lord.
Amen.
We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, sister, come, let's sing that song. I'm gonna stay.
Sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts into. Sometimes blind us from the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us, and His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be unfaithful.
Amen.
God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hands, trust His heart. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He sees the master plan, and He holds your future in His hand. So don't live as those who don't have hope. All our hope is in the Lord. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me to someday be like Him. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you. So when you don't understand and you can't see His plan, when you can't trust His hand, just trust His heart.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that's keeping me alive. Amen. Hallelujah. I know, right, innocent. It's good when God does something. I was talking to someone, you know, Brother Cheslin yesterday. I said, you know, the only problem with us humans, when God does things for us, hey, we don't really testify. You know, we don't really say, hey, you know, God, like the prophet even says, God spoke to me this morning, you know. Like, imagine, Brother Innocent, we were speaking on Thursday. Not to talk, but just to really explain. Brother Innocent said, hey, brother, this issue, I never prayed about it, but he brought it to the church. And before the next day, he had his money. Amen. And he told me, he told me about that man. He says, hey, that man, he owed another person money. And they had to send some big guys to go threaten to beat him. Then he quickly paid them the monies they owed. But I said, so what about you? He says, ah, brother, look at me. I can't go beat him. But he brought it to the Lord. Amen. He brought it to church. And he said, saints, this man owes me money. He doesn't want to give me my money. There's no ways I'll get the money. But then we just prayed at church. The next day he phoned me. He said, ah, and I couldn't answer. Then when I phoned him back, I said, you get the money, you get the money. He said, how did you know? I said, the only reason you phoned me because you got the money, you know. So, but it's good to testify, saints. I know sometimes we don't like, we're lazy to talk, you know. But it's good to testify, to say, wow. You know, because there's that issue there. I know so many issues. Even I have an issue. The pastor knows. There's a man I gave 5,000 years back. And he just disappeared with my money. So yesterday when I started saying, hey, Lord, thank you for Brother Innocent. But what about me, Lord? Years ago, that man took my 5,000. Hey, how good that money would be, you know? So it's good when that testimony comes, it makes another testimony. It just catches fire the whole church. Amen. So we testify about that one for Brother Innocent on his behalf. Amen. Sorry, brother. Amen. Brother David comes now to give his testimony. The devil, he don't like it, and he's keeping me, keeping me, keeping me, keeping me. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, and he's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, saints. I won't take up too much of your time. I was just thinking there because I had asked Brother George last week or the week before to give my testimony. And I was thinking today, there he goes, this man is talking too much. But thank God for that testimony for Brother Innocent. We appreciate it. For myself, I just really want to thank the Lord so much.
Amen.
I'm not so good with words, but if the Lord knows my heart.
Yes.
And what it is that I thank the Lord for healing, because most of the saints know, but for those that don't know, 5 years ago, I was in a car crash, and initially, my eyes, I detached both the retina and my eyes, so it was a long battle, about 2 years, just over 2 years, multiple surgeries and a lot of medication being taken, but the net effect of the medication is that again, 2.5 years ago, it formed a mass that formed in the base of my spine. And it's pressed up against the nerves, where all the nerves come together. So how I found out is I was at work, and I was standing just with some colleagues, and then I got numb in my arms. I just couldn't feel my arms. And as I stood there, then my legs went numb. And this carried on like that. Because I'd been out for the 2 years, I was 2 years out of work. I said, I'm not going to a doctor. Because if I go to the doctor, he'll put me out of work. So I tried to persevere like that there for about a week. But unfortunately, I started to get pain in my arms, my back. It was crippling pain. And I suffered a lot of different symptoms. I'd get fatigue. headaches. I'll be awake 1 minute and in the next second I'm just out like that, you know. So that pushed me out of work again. And along the way, there was much prayer made. The saints were praying for me. The pastor prayed for me different times. And I felt like in recent times that there was improvement. Like things were getting better. But my heart's desire was to, like a miracle, just for it to stop. You know? And as time went by, then I developed as well high blood pressure, which the doctors couldn't control. So they gave me medication and had to continue to increase the dosage to control it, you know. Those that have suffered, I hope there's none here, they know the effects of extreme high blood pressure. But by the grace of God, the week when Brother Medson came here, he's someone who we grew up with as a pastor and himself said, but I had seen, I think Brother James has once sent me the testimony of the sister who had growths. Amen. And he prayed for and it disappeared, amen, you know. And whilst we do know, like the pastor many times says, that maybe the brothers in Africa on certain things, maybe they're a little bit ahead of us. But you're saying, hey, we're all God's children, you know. And I happened to see him online with Brother Crosby and Brother Oliver. And I sent him a message. Ah, brother, you're passing this way. Just in things. So he explained some things about his ticket. It seemed it couldn't happen. So I said, what can you do? But I said, hey, Lord, you never know. You know, maybe by the grace of God, if the brother would have prayed for us, you've used him before, it could help me. And 2 days after that, the pastor sent me a message. Said, Brother Saeed is passing this way. And I said, what? Is it possible this is my time, you know? But I went along the week. The Saturday of the service, in the morning I woke up, wanted to listen to a message, and I switched phones with my wife. For some reason, all her messages are about divine healing. So I started listening, they were blessing me. And I just continued to listen till we came into the service. And the brother we were all here witnessed was wonderful service. At the end of the service, in my soul, I could feel this is my time. And at the end of the service, I remember the pastor said, when before we prayed all together, he said, maybe tomorrow the brother will do a prayer line. And I was feeling, oh Lord, this is my time. You know, I wouldn't be one who's forceful as such, but I was saying, now if it's like that, I'm just going to go up only to the front. You know, however, afterwards, after we prayed, the pastor said, actually, now, saints, those that want prayer, and saints, the brother, he prayed a simple prayer. Amen. But immediately,
amen.
There was, I couldn't do without I was going to bring all my medication, but I said, look, I have a box of tablets that I take. My boys know it, you know. Especially the blood pressure is immediate. If I didn't take it, I would feel it immediately. I've not touched it. That was not touched any tablet since then. So I thank God. Thank you for your prayer, saints. God bless you.
Night there, amen. His testimony will help me, help someone else. It will just keep burning. It's not for himself, amen. We use those tests, but it's the same God, is still working till today. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. There's a land of faithless days. That's right.
Faithless days, lies a city whose men, it shall never pass away, and there is no God shall wipe away your tears.
gates of pearl are made.
Thank you, Lord.
Request before the Lord. Sister Angel is asking for prayers, going to Italy tomorrow. Sister Sharon is asking for prayer for herself and Benjamin. They're both not well. There's a real devil of sickness around at the moment. Please remember Sister Viva, she's not feeling well. Please remember Sister Scheider, she's unwell. Please pray for Sister Gitana, she was vomiting this morning. So we need to pray for that. And then also Thanksgiving, Brother Gregory, thanks the Lord for his daughters turned 1 year old today. Amen. Thanks to all the saints for their support. Amen. And we've got a Bible to be dedicated as well for Brother Valda, so let's do that now. Father, we thank you for testimonies, Lord. We thank you for testimonies in song. We thank you for testimonies in the word. But we thank you for testimonies made flesh. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you are the same. Oh, Father, we thank you that you care for your people. Father, though weeping may last for the night, but joy always comes in the morning. Father, we thank you that you have your time. Lord, you have your way. You have your will. And Father, you make all things work together for the good. So now we bring these requests up unto thee upon this day. Father, the spirit of infirmity, Lord, that is going around upon this day, we just in simplicity, Lord, we just apply the blood to the door once again. And Father, we say unto that spirit, no more. Father, we just come in the name of Jesus. Lord, thy great judgment rod against sin and against sickness and against disease and against the devil. And Father, we raise up that rod upon this day, remembering, Lord, and bearing record in our souls of when you were raised up between the heavens and the earth for us. When you bore our sins and you bore our infirmities. So Lord, we pray and bring this every request into your hands. Send forth, even now we pray, Father, thine healing virtue, Lord, to minister to every situation we ask. Even our sister will travel, bless her journey, we pray. Give her traveling mercies, Lord. Our brother with a Bible, Father, may this Bible be a blessing unto him. And Father, may you use it that it may be a blessing to many others as well. That, Lord, you would, Lord, take this word, that our brother may hide it in his heart. Amen. That he may be a light, Father, in the place that you would want him to be. Amen. Father, we thank you for our little sister turning one. Yes. Father, bless her. Amen. Upon this day, we think of her mother. We do pray for her, Lord, that, Father, if you do a wonderful thing in this year that lays before, if, Lord, you'd bring her in as well. Father, bless our brother, bless his witness, bless his stand. And, Father, you be glorified, we pray. As you open up your word, guide us, Lord, upon this day. For we've gathered in your name. And, Father, we've come to fellowship with you. For your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you richly, saints, this morning. Let's open the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. If the brother wants his Bible, thank you very much. It's a very nice Bible. Do appreciate the items today. Appreciate being in his house. You know, it's a privilege, friends. You may not realize it, but one day when you don't have it, that's one thing you'll say. You'll say, I just wish I had have used those opportunities better. You know, there's something sweet about fellowship. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read from 23 up to 26. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let's also read 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. We're still looking at this issue of evangelism. Today we're looking at evangelism in Jerusalem. Let's keep it close to home. Family evangelism. Looking at the principles. But any form of evangelism works in exactly the same way. It's dealing with the souls of people. You know, so whether it's family evangelism, whether it's street evangelism, whether it's friendship evangelism, whatever way you want to evangelize people, every single one needs exactly the same thing. 1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. So that's obviously the key. Let's read one more. Let's read Proverbs 22, verse 6, just to get our scriptures read. The book of Proverbs 22, verse 6. This is a sacred trust, a sacred commandment given to every family person here. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. You may be seated on this day. Just a quick announcement. Next Friday evening, this Friday coming up, we have special service with Brother Tom. It looks like it's going to be a baptism service again. Brother Tom has 2 saints who are looking to be baptized, and we might have one as well. So we're going to have service 7 o'clock. Brother Tom's going to come and preach, and then we'll have baptism. So I think it'll be good. Then on Sunday, being Christmas Day, we'll have service, just morning service, normal time, 10:30, no Sunday school, no adult Sunday school. Let's just come to worship the Lord, and let's come to remember, though the season may be wrong, but friends, we're so glad that he was born, and we're so glad that he died, and we're so glad that he rose from the dead. You know, so, I mean, every day should be Christmas. We should be remembering, if you have the new birth, he was born in you. You know, so every day we should be appreciating Christmas, Christ born in you, when God was made flesh. No, you don't want to just leave it in the manger. You want to come and you want him to be made flesh in you. So we're looking at this thought of the family altar, family evangelism. Now, like I say, you can apply it in any situation. You can apply it in church, because church is the family of God. You know, so we're speaking more here about discipleship as well. Discipleship and evangelism, because there's a sacred trust we've been given. If you've got children, naturally or spiritually, you've got a sacred trust on your hands. And that is to train them up in the way that they should go. That Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He says, make disciples, yeah, of every creature. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, so it's to make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, so it's wonderful to evangelize, but it's got to go beyond that as well.
Amen.
Now, the responsibility of evangelism doesn't finish when life is born, just as much as the responsibility of a parent who doesn't finish when life is born.
Amen.
It actually really begins when life is born, because now you've got to nurture that life up. You've now got a sacred responsibility inside of your hands. So, now many people, you study the word, you study the message, and you say, why is it that in, you know, the Lord never really gave us a handbook of how to be a parent? Or he never gave us a handbook of how to be an evangelist. He never gave us a handbook, no instruction manual. Now you see them when they're on the aeroplanes, you see, and something goes wrong with the pilots, they have their handbook and they take it out, and there's a sequence of steps which they've got to follow to handle that sort of crisis. If an engine stops working, whatever, they just work through a checklist. Now, God never gave us any checklist. God never gave us a checklist of how to look after people, how to watch over other people's souls, how to raise our children the right way. He gave us guidelines, but they're really quite broad. But he never ever gave us something which we can sit down and study and say, you know, this is the way that I have to raise children up, or this is the way that I have to deal with this situation, because every situation's different. And every child is different, and every circumstance needs something fresh in it. You know, what might have worked for somebody else last week may not work now. What might have worked with one of your children when they went through a certain situation, it's probably not going to work now, because the times have changed, the situation has changed. And there's so many different factors that come into it. So the Lord never really allowed us to have a handbook like that. The Bible's not a handbook of how to raise your family. Now, the Bible includes scriptures concerning the family. Now, the New Testament, Paul speaks of certain things. But the scripture we read in 1 John is the answer.
Amen.
Is that you don't need any man to teach you. Because if God gives you responsibility, if God gives you a child, he entrusts you now with the sacred responsibility of a soul, he's also going to equip you. So inside of every mother, there's the potential for real motherhood. Inside of every father, there's the potential for real fatherhood. Inside of any person that's called to any divine responsibility, there's the potential inside of you. There's the equipment inside of you that if you just get in the spirit, you know, and you follow that leadership, you follow that God-given instinct that is inside of you, you find that is always God's answer. Now, the anointing will lead you to the word. The anointing will lead you to different circumstances different people went through. The anointing will lead you to whichever way that he wants to lead you. But that is the only way we can ever deal successfully with any person's soul. You know, and that's where the prophet says denominationalism, organization, is the enemy of God. Because you put humanized leadership in control now. Now, you have a hierarchy that a man has to answer to another man. Somebody tells somebody what to preach. God never wanted it like that.
Amen.
You don't ever want to be like that.
Amen.
No, you want to be in a situation where he has control. No, because he never fails.
Amen.
He never leads you wrong. And the times that you do fail is when we've got ourselves in the way. We've tried to put our agenda and we've tried to do it our way. And now we feel it's got to be done like this. Or my dad used to deal with it like this, therefore I'm going to do the same. It might have worked for him, it might not have. But the times have changed, the circumstances have changed. You know, the challenges of this age are different than the challenges of the age that have gone before. So God will always raise up a standard to meet the challenge. And no matter how ungodly society may get, I'm trying to speak slowly because the brother's interpreting for Brother Oscar, so it's not easy to slow down sometimes. But no matter how ungodly society may get, no matter how strong the influence of Sodom may be, no matter how evil the age may get, no matter if this becomes, like the Bible says in its fullness, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, God still has a defense, and that's the family.
Amen.
And that's why the devil hates the family.
Amen.
A godly family, friends, it's a powerful thing.
Amen.
No matter how, like I always say, because you know, I like when Brother Lubanza got up and preached that last time, and he said, brothers, he said, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect in these things. You know, I'm learning as well. We're all learning. But even in our immaturity sometimes, even in our incomplete reflection of what things are supposed to be, it's still enough to defeat the devil.
Amen.
That's what I like to see.
Amen.
It's more than sufficient to beat the devil.
Amen.
Even with your idiosyncrasies and your little quirks in your nature and your good days and your bad. Yeah, the devil still never wins.
Amen.
And that's what I really find is a powerful thing. That's the power of redemption, because it's not only you. You have a great high priest making intercession for you. He's prayed for you, like he said to Simon, 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 Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you.
Amen.
You know, and that's what really makes the difference. Is that always that something that kicks in when you need it. You know, sometimes you won't really feel his presence the way that you want, and you know, you won't really feel, you know, the power that you desire at certain times. But friends, I've learned as a believer, it's never failed when I've needed it.
Amen.
You know, it may not be there when you desire it. You know, maybe Jesus will be sleeping in the back of the boat, but wait until the storm comes.
Amen.
And then you will see that something rises up within you. Something rises up around you. There's something that rises up to meet the challenge. And that something is what we need to channel into every one of these situations.
Amen.
It's Christ.
Amen.
It's the anointing. The anointing that you have received. He will lead you into all truth. So this holds true in any form of evangelism. Yeah, to get out there on the street, if you want to be effective as a street evangelist, you know, there's got to be an instinct in you.
Amen.
There's got to be something inside of you that's beyond reasoning.
Amen.
That works beyond the realm of human understanding.
Amen.
A certain voice inside of you, a certain something can move you in ways. You see the prophet giving his testimonies of when he had come from the hotel after before breakfast, and how the Lord would lead him and say, turn here and go there. And he'd get there exactly 9 o'clock, and somebody would be there, dreamt the night before, go to Miller's cafeteria at 9 o'clock tomorrow. And the whole secret of the prophet in that is that he didn't lean on his own understanding.
Amen.
He didn't try to reason it out and think it out and puzzle it out using his mind. He just followed this leadership. And that leadership never fails in the life of a believer. You know, it's always points you to the North Star.
Yes,
it'll always point you to exactly what it is that you need. And the great battle that we have is getting ourselves out the way. It's getting ourselves still. It's getting ourselves quiet. Especially when dealing with people.
Amen.
Because there's nothing that can get frustrate you like dealing with people.
Amen.
Especially your children sometimes. No, there's nothing. Somebody may be a placid sort of a person, a patient sort of a person, really long-suffering. But friends, children once in a while, they can bring things out of people that you never thought were there. You know? There's something about the challenge there of that.
Amen.
You know, so it really, really can be like that. And it's the battle is to get yourself out the way.
Amen.
So that you don't deal with it in your own spirit. That it's not your feelings, your emotions that are in control at that time. And that's why it's good sometimes to leave it. Don't quickly respond and say, I'm going to go and sort that out. No, I've had enough now. That never achieves anything.
Amen.
God cannot work in this atmosphere of strife.
Amen.
The Bible says the servant of God should not strive.
Amen.
And so when we're striving with things, God can't work. You know, God, he steps aside and says, okay, carry on and see how you get on. And generally speaking, we always at the end of it have to come back to him and say, Lord, you know, I messed it up. I've actually made the situation worse now. Because now the wife's got involved now and say, this person's got involved and things like that. And you've made a big mess out of it. And then you've got to go and humble yourself before the Lord. But he never fails.
Amen.
That's why sometimes the best thing you can do is go and pray about it.
Amen.
Go and really put yourself before the Lord. Because sometimes you're dealing with, when the Bible says, you know, the rod of correction, yeah? You know, when it says that it'll drive out the spirit of foolishness. It drives foolishness out of the heart of a child. Sometimes it's just foolishness. You know, sometimes it's just immaturity. You know, and just some sort of punishment, whatever's the most effective, we'll deal with that. But sometimes it raises high, becomes a spiritual issue. Then you can't deal with spiritual issues with flesh and blood. You know, and sometimes you find the whip or chastisement makes the situation far worse.
Amen.
Because it's not just foolishness bound up in the heart of a child now. Now it's a spirit that's got a hold of a life of somebody. And the only way you can overcome a spirit is you've got to have a greater spirit.
Yes.
That's the only way. Yes. You know, there's no other way you can overcome the spirit in the life of a person. Except that you've got to, you know, have a spirit which has dominion over that spirit.
Yes.
A spirit
Amen.
Which has authority over that spirit. And you've got to allow that spirit to express itself, to take control in that situation.
Amen.
But sometimes it's not easy because we want to take over in such situations. Now, let's think of this one first. Let's think a little bit about motherhood. Now, there's something real precious about motherhood. In motherhood, we can express it in the church as well, because the church has the sacred responsibility of motherhood as well. Now, to look after the young ones that are born in the house of God. So, you know, it's not just natural mothers we're speaking about. But the prophet says in Mother's Day, it says, Moses' mother, she taught him and she reared him in the palace of Pharaoh. He could not have had a better teacher. You know, so I find this story of Moses so powerful, is that the Lord knew that Moses was going to be in Egypt. He knew he was going to grow up in Pharaoh's palace. He was going to be surrounded by the greatest temptation, the greatest evil, the strongest influence in that age. There couldn't have been a more evil place, a place that if you wanted to put your child, the last place you would think is put him in Pharaoh's palace. It's like saying, now let's go and put our children to grow up in Hollywood. Would you want them to grow up in that vile place? But the Lord, he says, it's okay. You know, I'm going to take my prophet. I'm going to allow him to be raised up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, and maybe you and I would look at it and say, but Lord, we don't think that's a very wise plan. He says, it's okay. I've made a provision which is more than sufficient for all that he's going to go through. And that provision is his mother. My. So the Lord says, all I need is a godly mother. Just a few years. He just is going to need a few years when he's young in the hands of a godly mother. And it doesn't matter what the devil's going to throw at him. It doesn't matter all that he's going to go through. He's going to come out, find the other side. So we can underestimate sometimes the power of motherhood. You know, just a simple mother like that. But she was a spiritual mother. Because Jochebed, she had her own experience with God. Though the prophet, he speaks of it in teaching on Moses, how now the angel came down, you know, to Amram and told them about you'll have a son, and pointed to the north and said he'll deliver his people. You read Josephus and he speaks about those things. You know, about that they really, really were parents that had a real experience with God. You know, so when they had this experience, it now equipped her. Because God puts an instinct in a woman, an instinct of motherhood. It's something that's inbuilt. It's something that God has provided in the equipment of the makeup of a mother. And when a mother now is submissive to the kingdom of God, when a mother now gives the Lord preeminence inside of her life, and she's got already this apparatus which God has put inside of her, and now that's put into the hands of God, it becomes a very effective tool.
Amen.
It becomes incredibly powerful. Now, it's far more powerful than Sunday school. Although Sunday school had its place. Far more powerful than preaching to the children. Although that has its place as well. But motherhood. No, a godly mother. The prophet says, you see, a child listens to its mother. Some little touch about that mother that a child will listen to. When it's hurt, it'll go to the mother for consolation before it goes to the father. Because she was first with it. And there's some gift that God gives a mother to be that way.
Amen.
I mean a real mother.
Amen.
Now that's what Satan wages warfare against. And that's how we'll see. He says Hollywood has stripped away the sacred virtues of motherhood. Now the very things that God has put inside of women, which want to be expressed, to have children, to nurse children, to raise up children, society, especially through the influence of Hollywood, wages warfare against that. Now, to get a woman to esteem to be something which her very instinct and nature is against. That's a warfare. That's a very powerful warfare. The media, film industry, all of these fallen stars, you know, that they parade and present before the world all the time. You know, the moral standards and their aims and objectives are 100% contrary to the instinct, the inbuilt ability that God has put inside of a woman, which is to be a mother, to be a mother to her children. That's why the prophet's saying there's real mothers, because there's not many real mothers around these days. We're so glad we have real mothers here. But you get out in society, there's not a lot of real mothers. But God will bless real mothers. Yeah, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. God will raise up a standard amongst his sons and his daughters to show the world as a witness to the world of something which is genuine. To show this is my system. This is the way that I have ordained and always wanted things to be. But you find Hollywood and all these things, they wage warfare against this. And our young people, if they're not careful, if you don't really raise them up in the right way, they have influence of those things. And these things are presented before them in the magazines. And these things are presented before them on the internet. And we've got to really, really be careful, because whatever somebody is exposed to, whatever influence somebody puts themselves under, that leaves an impression. You know, something that the souls of people, the spirits of young people, are very impressionable. And it's very easy for the wrong impression to be left inside of that little spirit that's inside of there. But God puts motherhood to make sure that children have the right impression. You know, that there's this particular image, this influence, this certain something, you know, which has a powerful effect inside of the spirit, that in the formative years of a child. It's such a powerful thing, genuine motherhood. It's very, very powerful. So he speaks of real mothers. Now, like I say, to be a real mother is an instinct. He speaks about it in Hear Ye Him. And he speaks about his hunting trip with Bert Cole. Now, Bert Cole was a wicked man. And it's amazing. The prophet, he really... Sometimes you and I would look at him. We like raise the prophet up to be something, maybe to live a life that he didn't. The prophet would go hunting with an unbeliever. Yeah? A man who was used to say to him, "Oh, Billy, you preachers are chicken hearted and all that." And the prophet, I liked the man. He was a good hunter. He wouldn't get lost in the woods. Yeah. But if you saw one of us getting out, going a few days hunting with some unbeliever, the people would judge us. To say, how can he supposed to separate from all unbelief? But the prophet led the man to Christ. You know, so he had his aim and his objective in what he was doing. Jesus was a friend of sinners. So it really depends on your aim and objective. Now, if you're going to go out with people because you want a fellowship in their world, you're backslidden at heart. But if you want to associate with someone because you want them to fellowship in your world, it just depends on your aim and objective in the relationship that you've got. Because he's trying to shine light to be the salt of the earth to this man. But it was hard because Bert Cole, with his lizard eyes, the prophet said he had eyes like he was a half breed. He was half an Indian. So he was good in the woods and all that. But he was a wicked man. He was a hard hearted man, cruel. He'd shoot fawns, shoot young deer just for the sake of making the prophet feel bad. You know, so he goes to all these things and the prophet tried to witness to him and testify and tell him about Christ. And I don't need those things, you know. They just make you chicken hearted. He says that religion just makes a person soft. Yeah. Said, Billy, you'd be a real good hunter if you didn't have that religion. And so they used to go out. So that year when he goes out, Bert Cole makes himself a little whistle. And that whistle sounds exactly, when you blow it, like a little deer, a fawn crying for help. And so the prophet, and they got out there that day, they kneel down to have some hot chocolate, whatever it was, and Bert Cole takes out that whistle and he blows it. And it was just the start of winter. And there was snow. And they'd been hunting for days. And a mother deer stands up and walks right out of a thicket. Right having come through hunting season, it was so unnatural for that deer to do that. Now, all sense of reasoning would have told that deer, don't do this. Now, there's been bullets flying around you all the time. You know, this is danger. But there was a certain instinct in this mother. It was the instinct of motherhood inside of this deer. The prophet says, and I knew that deer wasn't standing over 30 yards. And I looked around again because Bert Cole took out his gun and he aimed it now. And that mother looked. And even when that deer saw those two hunters, she never flinched. She never flinched. There was something in her that was stronger than her fear. There was something in her that was stronger than her reasoning. Amen. It was a God-given instinct. It was a sacred trust that God puts in every woman, which is motherhood. The prophet says, I looked around again. I seen him level that steady nerve, putting that crosshair right across the heart of that mother. And she looked around. She heard that baby's cry. She came walking right out into the middle of that little place, right out in the open. She was willing to expose herself.
Amen.
Because of motherhood.
Amen.
She was willing to pay the price.
Amen.
Because of something that was yearning and moving inside of her. You know, God has so made it. If you ask those who know medicine, they're much better than me. But God has so constituted, even in the hormones of a woman, when a woman gives birth and breastfeeds, the hormones that are released, even in breastfeeding, are the hormones that are the ones that when somebody falls in love with somebody else. You know, God has so put it that even when a mother nurses a sucking child, there's such a sense of love. There's something that comes, a bond in the hormones of a mother. It's natural. God's ordained it to be like that. That once the mother has the baby, as soon as she's nursing that baby, comes in close fellowship and communion with that baby, something is released inside of her. That'll make her do things she wouldn't normally do. She'll hear the baby crying 3 times in the night and she'll get up. And she'll take that baby and nurse the baby. Though she's so tired, she can hardly even sit up. But there's something that God has put inside of a woman so she can be a mother.
Amen.
And it's the same as you and I.
Amen.
If God has called us to do anything, it's in you to do it. God has already predestined that apparatus, that equipment inside of you. And all you and I have got to do is get in the Spirit and allow that to express itself.
Amen.
We don't need to be clever. We don't need to be smart. We don't need the instruction manual. We don't have anything like that. We just need to follow Him. Because He's going to work in us the way that He made us. He's going to use us the way that He made us. Because He's Jehovah Jireh. He sees beforehand the need.
Amen.
And He already prepares the need before we get there.
Amen.
So His business, He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
You know, but where's the enemy here now? Reasoning.
Yes.
Education.
Yes.
You know, our senses. You know, we'll start thinking, oh, I'm not going to do that. Hey, there's some danger in that. Yet there's something trying to move you to do something.
Amen.
You know, it could be just to speak to somebody at work, speak to someone at college, tell your neighbor something about the Lord. There'll be something urging you on. Now you'll feel that something within the veil, something's trying to say, speak to that person. And you and I will look at them because they're big. Yeah. You and I will look at them because they got tattoos all over them. Yeah. You and I will look because they got an earring in the ear. Or in the nose, or in other places, which you won't mention these days. But that's the age that we're living in. That'll be something else, and you'll let reasoning kick in and say, yeah, I can't speak to that person. Hey, that person will probably do me in if I speak to them. They're much bigger than me. You know, we'll look at it like that. But if we could just be in that condition to follow that voice. And Isaiah said, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way that you should go when it's time to turn to the left or to the right. If we could just be sensitive to that voice that speaks through that some instinct inside of us that God has ordained, friends, we'd really get the job done quickly. Whatever the Lord has ordained us to do in this place, the job will get done. You know, but when there's too much humanity in the way, too much of our agenda, our ideas, our reasoning, our education, you know, our thinking about it too much. Now then obviously you can then go the other side. You get into fanaticism. Now you can think it's the Lord telling you to do something when it's not.
Yes.
But my sheep, they know my voice.
Amen.
You know His voice. Any believer knows the leadership of the Lord.
Amen.
You know when God's leading you. And you know when your own imagination's leading
Amen.
You. You know when it's just emotion in control. But there's another place, another realm that something speaks. And it's a certain sound. And that certain sound never fails. If you can just get all other voices dimmed and still at that time and just heed and hearken to the certain sound. Oh, that's where all our testimonies come from.
Yes.
Anytime you've ever led somebody to the Lord. Anytime you've ever had a testimony inside of your life. It's when you've allowed that to happen.
Amen.
It's all as unfolded from that. That's something. You know, but you can't put your finger on what exactly it was. It's even like when you're not too sure what to read in the Word. And there's just a something that leads you to a certain place, and there's a depth in there, and things open up from there.
Amen.
And you'll even ask yourself after, but how did I get to this scripture? You know, you'll think it like that. Or you listen to a message, and it'll strike right home in the soul. And you look and say, but hey, how did I find that message? Out of all of these messages. I remember back in Zimbabwe, there was some brothers, Brother Gube, Brother Patrick Gube. He was a good friend of mine. And they were testifying to their teacher at school, a chaplain school. He was a white man, Mr. Williams. I think some of the brothers know him. And he was a Pentecostal. So these brothers were testifying. So they said, would you like to meet our pastor? And the pastor was Brother Mandu. So Brother Mandu went Mr. Williams went to Brother Mandu's house with these brothers, and they were talking. And then, you know, the people say a lot of bad things about the message. So Mr. Williams said, only bad thing I've heard about this message is that this message is legalism. Yeah? No, it's legalism. It's just do's and don'ts. So Brother Mandu, he had a big pile of spoken words. You know how it was in those days. We didn't have the table on the computer. You would have your books. And he said, okay, Mr. Williams, let me take one book and let's read and see if we can find where this legalism. And he picked out all the messages. It was a message of grace.
Amen.
My, how does that happen?
Amen.
How do those things happen? It's powerful if you think
Amen.
About it.
Amen.
That God can be so in control of a situation that
Amen.
Out of hundreds of books, somehow you pick the right book.
Amen.
And then you think, if the Lord's telling you, why don't you speak to that person? Yeah? That it's wrong. That's not going to work. It's going to work. If you can just follow it through. That's the important thing. So the prophet says, why did she come in the open? She couldn't help it because she was a mother. She, by nature, was a mother. She wasn't putting that on.
Amen.
But she was a mother to begin with, and there was a baby in trouble, and she must get to it.
Amen.
It was something in her.
Amen.
Something in her. And friend, God, seeing how far man has fallen, we were supposed to have dominion.
Yes.
We're supposed to be teaching nature. But because of the fall, it's such a proof and evidence that man has fallen, nature has to teach us. Women have to learn from an animal what motherhood is. Is that not sad? Because none of these Hollywood stars know what motherhood is anything about. And you look at their children and they have children, you look at, there'll never be more hopeless cases born in this world than the children that are born of those Hollywood stars. Right from the time they're given their names. Then you wonder which dictionary they got these names from.
Amen.
You wonder, where do they get these names from? Bob Geldof calls his daughter Pixie Lot. Would you ever think of calling your daughter Pixie? I mean, the prophet says it's these end time names, like Elvis and that. He said they just have to be here at this time. And what you name your child, you're setting it in a certain course, he said.
Amen.
That's how God always changed somebody's name. Yeah? He changed from Saul to Paul and, you know, Jacob to Israel and so forth. And they're given these names, and you just wonder, where did these names come from? And right from their birth, unless it's absolute predestination, they're doomed from their birth. Because all they're going to be taught is filth, immorality, ungodliness, all this liberal nonsense that's there. Yeah? Until it gets to the Genesis chapter 6. That even the imagination of the thoughts of the heart. Not even the thoughts, but before it's a thought. The very thing that produces the thought was evil continually, the Bible says. The society had got so rotten that there was no chance that those young people could even think right. Friends,
Amen.
It's a serious day. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's the same thing.
That
there's such an evil. But God has something which He raises up.
Amen.
He sends a message. But the message in itself isn't enough. Now the message has got to be expressed like in human form. So the message will come and quicken you. It'll come, it'll lead you and show you how to fellowship with Christ. It'll show you how to find various resources and the things that you need. But friends, without that anointing inside of the soul, without that something to be able to take those things practically and know how to apply this at the right time and apply that at the right time, it just doesn't get the job done. But when it's done properly, it's extremely powerful.
Amen.
It's extremely powerful. It's like God's secret weapon. You know? Like motherhood, the prophet says, the fifth gospel. He says, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and mother. This is, those are the five gospels that you find. It's motherhood is a powerful tool.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful, if it's put in the hands of God, because it's something inside of somebody. The prophet says, any other time she would have been scared to death. That's why she was hiding back in the bushes there, to keep away from the light place until night fell. But the baby was in trouble, and the mother instinct called her. It was her duty. My. It was a sacred duty. She heard this call and something moved inside of her. It was a call inside of her. This is what she had been born to do. This is what she was called to do. A situation had arisen and something kicked in inside of her. And if she would just allow that to be expressed, that's all the Lord expected her to do. And that's what's more than. And then he says in invisible unit, notice what's committed to her? Sacred virtue. This is the woman. Sacred womanhood. And then sacred motherhood. That's what's committed to a woman. Sacred virtue. She's got to keep herself. Yeah? Sacred womanhood. There was a big discussion the other day on that Redeemed Forum about women ministers. It was very good, very interesting. You can't break the continuity of God's word and nature. No, the nature and God's word, they have the same author. So you can't have it in nature that the man is in, God ordains them, the male to lead, yeah? And then in his word, he allows a woman to lead. It wouldn't make sense. God would then be the author of confusion. Go and look at lions. Lions are very interesting. That there will be the big lion, he just lies there, licking himself. And here goes all the lionesses. They go do all the hard work on the hunting. Yeah. And then when they kill whatever it is, he gets up now from under the shade in the tree. And he comes and they all move away. He comes and eats and then he goes back and he lies down. It's very interesting to watch how nature really is. Yeah. And I'm not trying to feed the laziness in people. You know? I'm not trying to put an example like that. But it testifies. Paul says, does not even nature itself teach you? Nature teaches. You can see it in nature. Now you can really see that God has ordained it to be like that. He's given headship to the man, to the male in whatever species it is. Yeah, and then the woman has the sacred trust of motherhood to bring life into the world, to nurture that life. That's the sacred trust. Man doesn't have that sacred virtue, doesn't have that sacred trust. And that's why, because Eve fell, was seduced, and she brought forth evil, yeah? Cain. God says, okay, but the Lord allowed her to be like that. He made her to be able to fall. She was a byproduct, naturally speaking, not in her soul. But the Lord says, okay, I will now, because I used woman to do that, I will use woman to bring life into the world. And Jesus had to be born of the virgin. You know, so God will always balance the things out. But God has entrusted the sacred something to a woman to bring forth life into the world. And the enemy of that is the modern day influence. There's nothing godly in the current influence of this age. Very little that you're going to find. Now, if you're going to spend your time on YouTube, you're going to spend your time in any of those kind of, even social media, be very careful. Be very careful, because the impression, the influence that you're allowing inside of your spiritual realm is a very, very warped and unscriptural influence.
Amen.
And it's contrary to nature.
Amen.
That's how Paul says in Romans, men doing things that's contrary to nature.
Amen.
Women doing things with women that's contrary to nature.
Amen.
Now, nature teaches you. Now, there's a nature inside that if you just follow that nature through, it'll always work according to the laws of God. Although nature has fallen, but there's still that image inside of there. There's still that something inside of there that testifies of God. That's why Paul says that no one will be without excuse on that day, because the invisible things of his Godhead, yeah, the invisible things of God have been declared through nature, through the things that he's made.
Amen.
That anybody looks at the order in nature and how nature works and looks at instinct. And no, you see those fish, those salmon, that they spawn in a certain river, a little stream, a little pond in Canada, yeah? And they're born from those eggs, and they, you know, they grow and they go down the little stream into the river, out into the ocean. Then they go out maybe 7-8 years. Then when it comes time for them now to produce after their own kind, every single one of them finds its way exactly back to that original pond it was born in.
Amen.
It's powerful to see.
Amen.
They'll navigate through whatever they have to do. I mentioned once before when they were showing it, when they had this fishery where they were like raising, you know, farming these salmon. And some of them got out. You know, they were keeping them in these like these pools and got out and went down this like an overflow pipe and went into the river and off they went. And a few years later they're surprised to find, hey, one of the salmon, which you know, they tagged it before it left, they found it back in their pool once again. And yet the only way that thing could come in, they had a concrete like pipe with an overflow, and they'd put a grill, a grate on top, metal, so that the fish wouldn't accidentally fall inside. And those salmon had come from the other side of the ocean, all the way down, found exactly the right river, come up the river, fought the rapids, fought the waterfalls, whatever it was, found the stream, got into the little tributary, came all the way back up that overflow pipe, and were so determined to get back to where they came from, that they jumped that fish and knocked that metal plate off and come back into the... And then they thought, it wasn't only one fish that escaped, there were quite a number. Let's go and have a look. And they went and looked inside of that pipe, and all the rest of the fish were lined up in the pipe, wanting to get home again. That's a powerful thing, instinct, friends.
Amen.
Something inside those birds that have never flown, the prophet says, they've never ever been down to Louisiana for the winter. They've never crossed down to, you know, the Sahara, down into Africa for the winter. And it'll just be born a leader. And that duck will be born in the first winter, just when it's big enough, the cold wind comes over the mountains and something kicks in inside there that it's time for us to go.
Amen.
And that duck will go and start honking in a certain way.
Amen.
And all of the other ducks, they will recognize leadership in this one.
Amen.
Just for the instinct in them, just like, we need to follow here.
Amen.
And that duck's never left the pond. But what does he do? He flies from there and he takes him straight from Canada all the way down to Florida, Louisiana, wherever it's going to be. Or sometimes even across the ocean. And they follow. And then the next time it comes springtime, you find it comes right the way back again.
Amen.
That's a powerful thing that God has put. You know, it's powerful. How do they navigate? How does he know where he is? How does he know when it's time to stop? There's something inbuilt into him. And all he's got to do is rely on that.
Amen.
He's in his place. He's in his position. He's fulfilling his divine function and purpose. Therefore, it's God's responsibility.
Amen.
And that's when the earthquakes are about to come.
Yeah.
All the birds, they leave their nests in the walls there. And all the cattle that were finding shade in the shade of the walls from the hot sun, they just head out into the middle of the field. When there was that great earthquake, I mentioned it before as well, that one that killed all the 200,000 people a couple of years back. Remember that one in the Indian Ocean? When they sent aid, helicopters and that, to one island, they thought it's just going to be corpses. Because all the rest of the places had been wiped out. Because that tsunami in some places was more than 20 meters high. 20 meters, just a wall of water, just wiped everything out. And unless you got to real high ground, you didn't survive. Then they came to this one island and they found everybody was alive. And they said, but how come you people are alive? They said, it was simple. We saw all the little animals and the insects heading to high ground, so we thought you better follow them. And they followed them to high ground, and then the wave came and wiped the island out, and none of them died. Oh, friends.
Amen.
And the prophet says, if God has put that inside of a duck, If God has put that inside of nature, there's an instinct to tell you it's time to flee, it's time to do this, it's time to do that, it's time to make a preparation. How much more in his sons and his daughters? How much more has he put that inside of you and I? And surely the success in anything we do, as a musician, as a minister, as a Sunday school teacher, as a mother, father, is determined by this.
Amen.
It's just how much we can yield to this.
Amen.
There's something that is put inside of you so you can fulfill his purpose.
Amen.
And the more you can get yourself out the way, and the more you can allow that thing to express itself, no, that expresses him. That's when he can express himself. And that's why motherhood is a real practical example of that. You know, because it's something which is so real. You see when your children are born. You see what your wife goes through. Now you see how she nurses the child. And, you know, and the rest of the children, when it's time then to change the nappy, they head for the other room. You know, because it's not a nice job. The mother doesn't worry about it. She loves that child so much that even the messy jobs, even those things that you and I would say, yeah, I'll do it, but it's tough. But to the mother, she just does it happily like that. Because God has put something in her system that's released at that time, that gives her such a love to that little soul, that she'll do anything to nurture and make that soul come through to what it's supposed to be. And is that not what God wants us to be as well? But friends, it's a battle, and you and I know it. We know the battle in this age, the battle of time, the battle of the complexity of this age. There's just so much that wants to stop us from that, from focusing on that one thing that's needful, and getting ourselves so caught up in other things, because it's easy to do, because the fallen nature, it's natural for it to want to look after itself. Now, the fallen nature, it's natural for it to want to care for itself, to be selfish, and to not worry about anybody else. No, as long as I'm okay, you know, that's just the natural, that's the ego, yeah? That's the first Adam, yeah? Your first husband. But when that dies, or when you have preeminence over him through the power of the Spirit that comes in you through the power of the new birth, you can now say no to that. To say, that's not what I was put on earth to be.
Amen.
And you can allow something else to express itself.
Amen.
And that gives glory to him. The prophet speaks about the opossum. That little opossum. And it's a powerful story because it's simple, but it's very powerful.
Amen.
Because they've just been reading in the newspaper, in the Jeffersonville newspaper, about a certain colored girl, yeah, who fell pregnant. And she gave birth and didn't want the baby because the prophet said she wanted to get back out into the taverns and so forth. So what does she do? She takes her young baby and she wraps it in a blanket and she smothers it. She suffocates it. Then she catches a taxi, gets to the bridge, throws the bundle into the river. And the taxi driver is suspicious, reports it to the police. So they send out the Coast Guard and they find that bundle and they find the little dead baby inside of there. And the prophet speaking with Brother Leo and Brother Jean about that, saying, this woman, listen what he says. He says in God projecting his love, he says, Mr. Mercer and Mr. Goad, I called them my student ministers. They were sitting on the porch. I was teaching them. I said, that woman isn't a mother. She's acted totally contrary to the motherhood that she should have expressed. Her own selfish objectives. Her own yielding to her sinful, carnal nature. Instead of allowing, motherhood was in her. She could have expressed it. If she had a desire, she could have overcome all of her upbringing, whatever, because it's a God-given instinct. But there's something about this, friends, is that if you fight against that something that God has put in you long enough, you are so dead in that thing.
Amen.
You can so much harden your heart.
Amen.
You can have a conscience that is seared, the Bible says.
Amen.
That very thing that can become so weak inside, it doesn't even exert any influence inside of your life. Oh, friend, you don't want to allow yourself to get in that kind of a condition.
Amen.
You always want, like we're saying, a pure heart.
Yes.
You want a heart that's impressionable, that's soft.
Yes.
You know, that when you've done wrong, something, you know, can affect you and influence you straight away. You know that when the word comes your way, there can come tears in your eyes. Yeah, you don't want it to do a hard sort of a person all the time. No, we all have different natures. No, but a born-again nature inside of there.
Amen.
There's a softness.
Amen.
There's a gentleness within the veil. Outwardly, you may be a rough guy. You might be a woodsman. You may be a hunter. You might be a John the Baptist sort of a guy. Yeah? But inside of you there, when the Lord starts to move, when the Lord starts to stir, there's a softness inside of there. There's a softness that you can come and say, brother, I'm very sorry for what I said. Or you can go to your wife or your husband, or you can go to somebody else and apologize and say, no, that really wasn't the way that I wanted to be. You never want to lose that. You don't want to harden yourself. The Bible says through the deceitfulness of sin.
Amen.
That sin deceives you and hardens you like that. You don't want it to be like that. So the prophet says that woman isn't a mother. A mother wouldn't do a thing like that. No, sir. She's just a female that gave birth to a baby. My, she's not a mother. A mother's name is greater than that. So I always wonder about people who say the prophet hated women and that. They're not true witnesses. They've never ever read the message. They've never got into the spirit of the message.
Amen.
I don't know any message. People say Paul was a woman hater in the Bible. It just shows they're unbelievers.
Yeah. Amen.
They may call themselves Christians, but they've never experienced the real thing.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of Christ inside of a man will never allow you to think Paul was a woman hater.
Yes, that's right.
How? When Paul wept, even he'd say, even of, I wish myself to be accursed for my own people. He had so much of the Spirit of Christ. He wished he could be cursed and the Jews could be saved. I mean, a man was in travail for people. You want to say that man's a woman hater just because the real original faith and teaching of the Bible contradicts your modern day theology.
Yes.
That's what you're trying to do. And people say, no, Paul said, this is not me. This is me, not the Lord. No. Paul didn't say that all the time.
Amen.
Paul just used that once.
Yes.
Because there was no provision in the scripture for someone marrying an unbeliever in the Old Testament. You weren't allowed to do it.
Amen.
So now when he goes and preaches to the Greeks, goes to Corinth and that, now there's believers, there's people repenting, but they're married to unbelievers, but they came into the faith like that. So now they're asking Paul, what are we supposed to do? The word says we shouldn't be yoked together with unbelievers. Then Paul says, this is me, not the Lord. Stay as you are. Because the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband, or vice versa. That's the way you'll win them to the Lord. That's the only time that Paul ever said, this is me, not the Lord. Everything else Paul said was, thus saith the Lord. Everything else, when Paul says, let a woman keep silence in church. I do not allow a woman to have to usurp authority over a man.
Amen.
Yeah? That wasn't Paul. That was the God who made us.
Amen.
Who gave a man his role and gave a woman her role. And he wants us to stay in those roles.
Uh-huh.
And people say that's sexism. Then you don't understand.
Amen.
I can't bring forth children. I'm sorry about that. That's the way that I'm made. So why does a woman want to do my job? I can't do hers. She's given her role in this life. She's given her function. God has equipped her and built her to be able to handle that. And that's where all the confusions come in modern day society. The great divorce rate, single motherhood, you know, all the broken homes. Because women are trying to take a place that God never gave them. Because God will never put upon you more than you're able to bear. So when you find it becomes too much, it wasn't God that led you to do that.
Amen.
You know, you're going contrary to nature. God, when if God gives you something to do, He's going to be with you. He's going to equip you. It'll never be too much, He said.
Amen.
He'll help you to bear the burden right to the end of the way. But society now, it's because Satan is a perverter. He takes what the Lord has created and Satan wants to pervert that. And the prophet says, the vessel that he used in this age, Hollywood. The voice of Hollywood. Because those women from Hollywood are so beautiful when they have their makeup on. But they're not so beautiful when they take their makeup off. You go and look at Hillary Clinton when she took her makeup off. Friend, you almost thought it was Halloween once again. But when they had it all done up and stuff, you'd say, hey, she's really kept herself well because of her age. But when after the election you saw her with no makeup, my! Yeah. But it's quite a thing. But they dress them up and portray them, and it's just a false image. Yet the lives of these models, you'll find most of them, they're so addicted to cocaine. They're into all of those kind of things. Yeah. And look, like Elizabeth Taylor, how many men did she marry? 8, I think, or 9 husbands. And you want to make someone who can't even live with a man. Yeah. Every time she gets too close with somebody, it doesn't work. Dispose of the guy, marry somebody else. No. God never ordained it to be like that. God doesn't want us to be like that. So the prophet says, a mother wouldn't do a thing like that. A mother's a greater name than that. And while we were talking, you see how God teaches a lesson? While they were talking, Leo and Jean and the prophet, in came the apostle. That's powerful.
Amen.
While we were talking, coming down the road, I don't know whether you know what they are here. It was an opossum. And an opossum only comes out at night. It's a nocturnal creature. And this was the middle of the day. And there's all the houses between the prophet and the woods. All of them, none of them, apart from his, has a fence and a gate. All the rest of them are just open. And that opossum walks past all of those houses and comes to the one that's got a fence and a gate and walks right in as they're speaking about motherhood. About this woman smothering a baby and throwing it into the river. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to show you what real motherhood is. I'm going to give you a practical demonstration of what real motherhood is. And this opossum comes right in, comes home and falls at the prophet's feet. And you know the story. And then the prophet, now he thinks maybe it's got rabies, so he takes the rake and he pokes it, thinking why it's coming out in the day. And it starts to bite and fight against the rake. And then the prophet says, he said it was in so much pain, it was so weak, that its little pouch, which normally it could keep closed, because it had was so weak, it couldn't keep the pouch closed. And those little opossums came out, because they live in a pouch. And he said, Leo Jean, come here. Let me teach you something. He said, this is a real mother. He says she doesn't have long to live. Yet with the final breath that's in her body, the final strength that she has, she will use all of that to protect her babies.
Amen.
He says, that's motherhood.
Amen.
And then the prophets, you know, then Mrs. Woods. If you read about Mrs. Woods, she's an interesting character because Mrs. Woods says, no, Abraham, I think you need to kill them. Yeah, Abraham says, human reasoning said the same thing. He says, no, it's hard for me to kill them. Mrs. Woods says, no, but you're a hunter. He says, yes, I'm a hunter, I'm not a killer. He says, okay, if you don't want to kill her, let Banks kill them. And then some people have lots of ideas, you know. And then the prophet says, no, and he leaves it like that. And he goes inside and he can't sleep at night. And he's getting up and he's walking around. And he comes out early in the morning. And that mother opossum's laying and not responsive anymore. Its eyes are closed. And he says, it's right near the end. And then the voice speaks. And said, you were using her as a lesson yesterday to teach her about motherhood. He said, and I sent her right to your door for you to pray for her. And you didn't pray for her. No, when I see that, I think of us without testifying, evangelism.
Amen.
You know, the Lord can sometimes bring people right into our sphere of influence.
Amen.
Because we have what they need.
Amen.
We can make a difference in their life.
Amen.
But look at the prophet, he didn't even recognize that. In another message, he said, I just come back hunting, so I wasn't prayed up. You see, he wasn't prayed up at that time. So the prophet says, what? And he says, then I looked down the street and I said, but it's true. She walked past all of those houses and came into my gate and came and lay down. And the voice said, she's been laying there like a real lady, waiting for her turn to be prayed for. Hey. And then the prophet said, Lord, would you forgive me? The way that he says, forgive me for being stupid. That's the word that he says. And friends, how many times do we need to pray that as well? Lord, forgive me for being stupid. That was such an opportunity. I didn't realize this person, with all their tattoos and all of their rings and all of their additional metallic objects upon them, I didn't realize that the very reason you allowed me to be in this place was to speak to that person. My, I always give the example as at university about the big Greek guy because it was so real to me. Even his name was scary. Andoni Babialakis. He was a Greek guy. They used to call him Ox because he was in the first team rugby in the university. And he was big and full of red hair like Esau. You know? He was a hairy guy. So in our hostel, we used to try to witness to people. No one ever witnessed to him. And it's amazing. Because you looked at the guy in the outward appearance and you thought, this guy, if he doesn't appreciate what you say, there was no political correctness back then. You know, if somebody gave you one, there was no taking someone for assault the way that it is now. Then it was just, you just bear the consequences for stepping into another man's domain that you shouldn't have stepped into. And then one day I was coming back from my studies. It was at night, coming up the hill. Our hostel was the very top of a hill. And then I heard somebody, behind me, I looked, it was Andoni. And I thought, hey, this guy's trying to catch up with me. What does he want? And he was, and he caught up with me. And then he said, Andrew, he says, I understand you people are having prayer meetings in your room. I said, yes. He said, would you mind if I come? And it so much taught me a lesson. I said, oh, Lord, how we judge with outward appearance.
Amen.
But sometimes a person still has a soft heart.
Amen.
There's still something that's impressionable inside of there. And the very reason why the Lord allows you to come in contact with that person. But what kicks in is reasoning.
Amen.
What kicks in? Outward appearance. What kicks in? We have to make up all these reasons why I can't do that. Yet there'll be something inside of you telling you. There'll be an instinct at work inside of you saying, draw nigh unto that chariot. Like Philip. And that's a really interesting story with Philip because God couldn't have planned it better. The man wasn't just reading his Bible. But he was reading Isaiah 53. And here was Philip burning in his heart to tell people about Jesus crucified and resurrected from the dead. And God ordains it just at that time that he finds that man reading exactly that scripture. One man once said, and I thought it was true as a missionary, and he said, many times the people are far more willing to hear and to receive the truth than we are to give it to them.
Amen.
Sometimes we're so reluctant to give it to the people, they'll be so willing to get it. The missionaries found that in so many places that they went. Now they saw some of these pygmies and some of these head-hunting tribes and that. And they went to say, hey, don't think we need to witness to them. And the moment they got amongst those kinds of people, it was like wildfire.
Amen.
It's like those people had been waiting for this. There was something God had put inside. The scripture said God put eternity in their hearts. Now there's something inside of the hearts of people ordained unto life. They're just waiting for life.
Amen.
And you and I will have that something, and something in us will be spurring us on. But we'll look and say, but I can't go and do that. That's not easy. It's not convenient. You know, I've got something else to do. Whereas if we just yield ourselves, I think we'd have some real powerful testimonies. But like with the prophet, that he didn't recognize the reason why this possum had been brought his way. And then he says, Lord, forgive me forgive your stupid servant. And then he prayed. And he says, and as soon as I mentioned the name of Jesus, her eye opened and she looked at me.
Amen.
He says, and as I prayed for her, she got straight up, gathered all of her little opossums in her pouch, started walking out the gate, turned around as if to say, thank you, sir. And says, as far as I know, she's still living now. And maybe whoever was speaking about it that day, he was speaking about if you could go and check the DNA of those woods, you would find some of her genealogy there that God gave another time. But God was trying to teach a lesson there. And it was a real vital lesson. Let's finish off with Moses again, just to bring our thought back to that about motherhood. In that verse, Hebrews 11, let's read it once more, verse 23. Look at these different things, these different aspects that Moses already had before he met the burning bush. And then ask yourself, where did he get these things from? It says in verse 23, by faith, Moses. By faith. Revelation. That's the power of motherhood. That's the power of the family altar. That's the power of that family evangelism. Is that you can impart something to somebody. You can transfer something to somebody. We'll see it just now in the scripture. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How long did his mother have him? Until he was weaned. How old did they wean children then? I think it was 4 years old, 3 years old, something. 4 years old. In those years, up to there, she had put such an influence in the life of this young man that he knew, I'm different than these people.
Amen.
I'm not born to be like these people.
Amen.
I'm not born to get involved in these kind of things. At that age. And then he was put right into Sodom in his day. He could have had anything that he wanted. Any woman he wanted. Anything that he wanted. And that influence of motherhood, a genuine mother, for just that space of time, had such an impact. Verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. How did he know who the people of God were? To the rest of the people, to Pharaoh, these were slaves, worthless people. That there was something inside of Moses that had been imparted there. Something that had so impressed him in the days of his youth. He could never get away from it. That when he looked, he knew these are the people of God.
Amen.
Friends, if we could raise our children like that.
Amen.
That even if they start going astray. Amen. But let them be like the young man when the prophet was sent to Memphis. To that woman in Memphis. When he was facing his final battle, he knew where to go. He went home to his mother. He'd been with all his buddies and drinking and sleeping around and carousing and all those things, thinking he was having a big time. Then when now that syphilis got into his bloodstream, started to eat away the valves in his heart, and there's nothing more medical science could do, he knew where to go.
Amen.
He knew. Where did that come from? He didn't have a father, but he had a mother. And she was a praying mother. And friends, there's power in a praying mother. She didn't have the full understanding of things. The prophet says she didn't go to a church like ours. She was like a Baptist lady or something like that. But the prophet says when she started to pray, you could tell she had prayed before. The prophet said when she started to pray, tears were coming down my face. And she got a hold of God. And she got a hold of God so much until God changed the course of nature, interruption of nature. And sent a prophet to her house. That was the power of a mother's love. And the prophet says when he was there, a big hulking guy lying on the bed, yeah? In disgrace, he's disgraced the family. What does she say? My little baby. Stroking his head, my little baby. Oh my. The prophet is still calling him my little baby. After all he's done, he says, that's the power of a mother's love.
Amen.
And then he says, but let's multiply it by 10,000. Because the Lord says, can a mother forget her sucking child? Even if she can, I cannot forget you, the Lord said.
Amen.
That's the grace of God. Because we are his sucking children. We've come in, we're sucking from El Shaddai today. From his breast, the breasted God. And he's imparting energy and virtue into us.
Amen.
As an immunity being transferred from El Shaddai into us so that we can overcome the conditions of this day.
Amen.
He's our mother. He's Jehovah Eagle. He's the great one. Yeah?
Amen.
So it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How did he know what was sin? To the Egyptians, they didn't see those things as sin. They didn't see immorality, fornication, all those kind of things as sin. Drunkenness, nakedness. But something had been imparted into this young man. That when he came to age, he had not yet met the burning bush. But what he had been imparted to him was sufficient. to keep him until he met the burning bush.
Amen.
Because Moses was part of his parents' inheritance.
Amen.
And they had applied the token. They had applied the token. Let's come to a close. Something that so impressed him. Verse 26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ.
Amen.
How did he know about the anointed one? How did he know about the promises, the covenant, and all those kind of things? Shh. You think a four-year-old, five-year-old, whatever age that he was, you think he doesn't retain much. But when there's the right atmosphere.
Amen.
And when a parent is speaking from a present tense experience,
amen,
they've had their own experience with God, like Joshua and Amram had. They'd seen deliverance. They'd put him in the basket. They'd seen him in the Nile. They'd seen his deliverance. They'd seen the hand of God, that she was called to be his nurse. They had seen the hand of God is on this young child. So when he was growing up in Pharaoh's palace, that's what they were teaching him. Listen to what the prophet says. He says in Mother's Day, that's the kind of faith that Moses' mother had. She taught him. And she reared him in the palace of Pharaoh, teaching him firstly that he was born for a purpose.
Amen.
She would tell him, my son, when you were born, it wasn't a natural birth. Some angel came down. And you were put in the Nile. And all the rest of the men's children died. But God spared you, and he spared you for a purpose.
Amen.
Never forget that, my son. You're not the same as the rest of these people. God has raised you up for a purpose. God wants to use you for his glory. You're going to have to keep yourself, my boy. She taught him, and she reared him up, and told him that he was born for a purpose, and that Jehovah had answered her prayer. So he knew from being a young man, God answers prayer. I'm the product of answered prayer. He could not have had a better teacher. That's what helped mold the character that Moses was. My, that's why mothers never look down on yourself. Like Brother Max was saying even in the Sunday school. You've got such an important job. Such an important sacred trust. You've been given a sacred virtue of motherhood. There's something inside of you that's not in us. We don't have what's inside of you. But God has built something inside of you to do something that we can't do. You'll be far more effective in doing it if it's just done in the Spirit. Done with earnestness. The way that Joshua did it. Then we'll finish with this one. Invasion of the United States. He says, to you little mothers here this morning, that's been real mothers. I know there's many of you. Let me tell you something. God bless you, because you're the fifth gospel. He says, remember when Moses was a little boy? It was a mother who gave him his instruction. It was a godly mother who took little Moses on her knees and said, Moses, and taught him all. He was her teacher. She was his teacher, rather, under Pharaoh. And she said, now these things, Moses, someday you're going to deliver the children of Israel. You're the boy that's called. Keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world, for you're the one, you're the one. No other place do we know where he ever went to any seminary, any teaching at all he ever got. He stayed right in Pharaoh's palace, which was a heathen. And his mother taught him. That's a real mother. She taught him the precepts of the Lord. She told him how he must be holy. She told him how and what he must live. And what God would do for him. And it stuck with Moses all the days of his life.
Amen.
And any good, true, loyal mother that'll take her little babies instead of send them to the picture shows and the dances and so forth like that, she'll put them on her lap and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, now, let me tell you about another mother in the Bible before we close. There was a mother called Herodias. She taught her daughter to tap dance. She wanted her to be popular. And she danced before the king and required the head of John the Baptist. We have record of 70 of her offspring. This damsel that danced, Herodias' daughter. 70 of her offspring that either died prostitutes or on the gallows. That's the power of influence, my friend.
Amen.
That's the power of influence. One mother taught hers the things of the world. The other mother taught hers the things of God. One became a great leader and a conqueror, is immortal among men today. And the other is debauched and in hell and taken 1,000 times 1,000 with her. You see what I mean? Bring up a child in the way that it should go.
Amen.
He takes that scripture. Bring up a child in the way that it should go. Friends, I know how busy life can be. I know the competing priorities that we have. But let's never forget this sacred trust. Because though we might go to Samaria and to the outermost parts of the world and go and evangelize and spend time trying to reach the souls of people, and then we fail on this one. We failed on everything.
Amen.
We've really failed. We don't want to fail on this one here. God has given us a sacred virtue. He's given us an instinct, an inbuilt something that is more than sufficient to meet the need.
Amen.
Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, if you can just get yourself before Him and He can quicken that something inside of you, there's nothing that you'll face up to. And though they may go astray, Billy Paul went astray. He was gambling and he was drinking and smoking and riding his car, drag racing down the streets and all of that. Yeah, Rebecca went astray for a season. Sarah went astray. Joseph Branham went astray. It's okay. No, they'll go through those years. But friends, when you've got that kind of an influence in your life, when there's been an impartation of something that was real in the life of your parents, has been imparted into you in those formative years when you're young, you'll never get away from it.
Amen.
And when now life doesn't turn out the way the image in the mirage that the devil was presenting to you said that it would, and when you're down there with the swine, feeding the swine, yeah? And you've squandered all of your inheritance, you'll remember your father's house.
Amen.
You'll remember. And may the Lord help it always to be so.
Amen.
And then you'll come to yourself. And by the grace of God, because we've applied the token,
Amen.
You'll come back to the place where you were born.
Amen.
You'll come back to that very place to find the way once again inside of your life. Let it be so. Let's stand, saints.
Amen.
Let's all just pray for our families. The prophet says the family is the backbone of the church. Let's pray for our Sunday school teachers. They do such an important job as well. You know, we really do appreciate all the sacrifice and the work that they do. Let's pray for our youth, especially them that are going through those difficult times. Because the world is a tempting place, friends.
Amen.
But we have something that quenches the thirst.
Amen.
It's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's called living waters. And if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again.
Amen.
And may the Lord help us to be the link to bring them to Him. So they can drink for themselves and be satisfied.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a
leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh,
I really thought was very helpful. We've spoken it before. What Brother Johnny Reagan said once, when one mother came to him, a young mother, young children, and said, "Brother Johnny, when I come to church, my children don't allow me to sit in church. I go in the cry room and the children will cry." She said, "I don't really get much from the service. What am I supposed to do?" And that's a great challenge to a mother. It's not an easy thing for a mother to come to church and you can't really pay attention very much to what's going on. And he said, "Look, you're doing the right thing. Just keep bringing them into the presence of God. Just keep bringing them to this place so that they grow up knowing the house of God. They grow up knowing his presence. And soon after a few short years, it may not seem short years when you're in the situation, but very soon they grow beyond that stage." I remember when Brother Crosby's wife, Sister Florence, came to visit us and she saw how, when children are still so dependent on you, and she said, "Oh, how I wish I still had a child that depended on me." She says, "Now the children come home, they put their bag down up to the room, they don't even say good afternoon or hello." She said, "But when you have your children that are depending on you, friends, it can be a burden, but it's a blessed time. Because you have a nearness, you have an opportunity with them that you're not going to get later on in life." So may the Lord allow Hallelujah. Us to use it wisely. And to our mothers, we appreciate them. We know that it's not easy when children are crying and all that. But you're doing the right thing. Amen. Keep Amen. Bringing them to the house of the Lord. Don't leave them by themselves in there. Stay with them in the cry room. But may the Lord help you as they grow, that you grow in grace as well.
Alone.
heart's desire. You more than gold or silver.
I want you
more than gold or silver.
Only you
can satisfy. You alone,
you alone are
the real joy giver.
For our families. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for our Sunday school. Let's pray for our youth. Let's pray for the mothers that are here. What an important role that they play. It's a sacred trust. We've been given a sacred trust.
Hallelujah.
And anything that's sacred, we've got to respect it. We've got to nurture it the right way. We've got to try to keep it uncontaminated. We've got to try to keep presenting it in His presence. And saying, Lord, you're the only one who can really mother these children for me. Lord, you're the only one who can really be a father to them. Lord, you're the only one who can really teach. You're the only one who can really preach. You're the only one who can really sing. You're the only one who can really pray. Oh, Lord, how dependent we are upon you. Let's express our dependence to Him. Let's express our appreciation to Him. Let's come into His presence. Let's yield ourselves. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Father.
Father, we're grateful, Lord, even in this opportunity that we have, Father, to come before Thee, Lord, after such a blessed and noble word. Father, oh God, on the discipleship, Father, of our home, Father. Oh, Savior, Father, sing, Lord, the importance of the family unit, Lord. Father, the importance of us, Lord. Father, standing, Lord, even in our place, that, Lord, our wives may act out, Lord. Father, that very nature. Father, you, Lord Savior, Lord, that healer. Lord, we pray that you would condescend and grace would atone yet again, Lord Savior God, amidst our lives, Lord Savior God. Father, asking your grace this day. Shepherd us now, we pray. Thanking thee for your kindness and your goodness, Lord. We look to thee, Lord, even upon this hour, Savior. For thou art faithful, Lord. Thou art merciful, Lord Savior, to provide as we have need. Lord, we bless your name. We raise thy name from glory unto glory. Father, be glorified amidst all that we do in Jesus' wonderful name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
He's a way to inside. There's a way to Lord. There's a way to inside. To you I'll bow. essence to arise. To you, O man, will directly wait. As I wait, you will die. So we lift the name. So we
Oh,
It says, if we call upon his name, we and our family shall be saved. That's the promise of the word. That what shall I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. There's something about genuine faith.
Amen.
There's something about a real atmosphere.
Amen.
It does the job. It leaves an imprint. It leaves an impression that the world can never take away.
Amen.
That your children will leave the nest. But there's an imprint there.
Amen.
There's an impression. And like we said at the prayer meeting on Friday, the greatest impression is that of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a perfect impression. Now, when they just catch a glimpse of him, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy.
Amen.
Once you've drunk of this fountain, that's all that we want. That's all
Amen.
That we need. Let's sing that. So what do we need to do as parents? Let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Let's not give in to the conditions of the day. Political correctness, we don't recognize. We just recognize the Word of God. That's the only thing we recognize. We just want to hold the truth in love. We just want to raise up a banner in Zion. We just want to raise up a standard, be faithful behind that standard so that our children can come and join the army with us as well. Let's never compromise. Let's never give in. Let's keep on this old blood-bought way.
I have heard of Christians long ago. They were brought before a tyrant's door. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name. The course of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to conquer the cross, to reject this world, and embrace the cross. But one by one, let's live our lives for the one.
To the land.
If you don't pledge allegiance to him, hallelujah, you're pledging allegiance to somebody else.
Amen.
Just ask yourself, who are you following today? Who's leading you inside of your life? And more importantly, where is that leadership going to lead you to? What's it going to lead you to? Is it going to lead you to eternal life? Is it going to lead you to live a life that you ordained to live? Because the devil's lying to you, my friend. He will tell you that this is the real thing, but the devil is a liar. Never, ever believe what he says. All these other influences, all these other things that are presented before us, when you strip away the facade and look behind it, it's death. It's death repackaged as some modern day something. No. We want the good old fashioned gospel. We want the good old fashioned Holy Ghost like I had in the book of Acts. We want to drink from the original fountain. We're not wanting anything new. We don't want new religion. We want the original. We want to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's what we've gathered here for, and for nothing else. Let's sing that song. Then we ask Brother Dave to come close for us in a word of prayer. Let's sing, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Aren't you glad today? I'm glad today. Amen. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, with cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them.
And are telling now both far and wide, how is it the same? I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them.
One of them. Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads, saints. Father, as the song said, how glad we are, Lord, that we can say we're one of them, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, not just from our mouths, Lord, but from the depths of our heart, Lord.
Amen.
Father, how we thank you for your grace, Lord. Amen. We thank you for your mercy.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Father, from the beginning, from, Lord, Sunday school, Lord, your presence, Lord, we so much appreciate it.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we're able to stand here and give testimony, O God. Father, just an expression, Lord, to thank you for the love you showed to us, Lord. That, Father, you're still in the business of fighting for your children, O God. We so much appreciate this day, Lord. We thank you for song worship.
Amen.
Lord, to lift our voices, Lord, to glorify your name, O God. Father, we know that there's many out there, Father, in the hustle and bustle of this life. Many, Father God, just caught up, Lord, in Father, the commercial aspect, Lord, of this season. Lord, we know, Father God, that, Lord, this wasn't the time that your son was born, but, Lord, the reason for the season. How we appreciate Christ Jesus, Lord. Father, not only from outside, Lord, but living in our hearts, Lord. We're so much so thankful for that, Lord. Father, and how evident it was, Lord, in the preaching of your word. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord. How rich and pure your word is, Lord.
Amen.
Father, shining a light, Lord God,
Amen.
In an area where Satan, Lord, has taken advantage,
Amen.
Lord, and has tried to take advantage of your children.
Amen.
Lord, to rob your inheritance. But, oh God, thank you that you've overcome already.
Amen.
Oh, Father, we thank you for this word, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, such a blessed
Amen.
Word, Lord.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, and we do know that this is our defense, Lord, against the enemy.
Amen.
So we pray with a fervent desire, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, our sisters, Lord, sometimes feel unappreciated. But, oh God, Lord, in the light of your word, what a blessing, oh Lord. We thank you for each and every one of them, oh God. Father, lift up their hearts, Lord. Encourage them, Lord God. Even we as husbands, Lord. Father, may we stand as true men of God, Lord. We encourage and exalt our wives, oh God. Heavenly Father, Lord, let us apply these scriptural principles. For in doing so, Lord, we are assured, Father God, victory, O Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, even as you've trusted us with these children,
Amen.
Lord God, Father, we want to give them back to you, O God.
Amen.
Because you're the best person, Lord, to raise these children.
Amen.
So, Lord, forgive us, Lord, where we've fallen short.
Yes, Lord.
Father, forgive us where we've allowed our own carnal thinking and reasoning, Lord, to try to get things done. But Lord, your word has come, Lord. Father God, and guided us once again. So be merciful
Amen.
To us, Lord, as we fall into line. Help each one, O God. Father, you know the needs of your people. Heavenly Father, which are here, Lord. Some have said it, Lord, in
Amen.
Terms of requests. But some, Lord, it remains in their heart.
Amen.
But Lord, we know you're the one that sees all things, Lord.
Amen.
Especially in the hearts of your children. So we pray that you'd meet every need, O God. Father, meet every need, Lord, that your children will come forth and give testimony and praise, Lord, to you.
Amen.
Father God, that your children would not feel forsaken, O God. Heavenly Father, be merciful, Lord, is our prayer. We pray, Lord, even at this time, for our sisters especially who couldn't make it upon this day. Father, Lord God, you promised, Lord, that Father in Israel, Lord, no sickness, Lord God, would be there. Father, Lord God, we pray, Father, that you'd look with angry eyes against these demons, Lord God, that come in different ways, different manifestations, Lord. Father, to frustrate your daughters, Lord God. Father, give healing, Lord, unto each and every one of them, Lord. Give us victory over the enemy, Lord, as you have promised, O God. Heavenly Father, touch our sisters, Lord, that are at home with illness, Lord. Father, those that, Lord, couldn't make it because of work, be merciful to them, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, Lord, undertake for your children wherever they may be. Father, we pray as well for our sister who will be traveling to Italy. Please grant her grace, Lord. Watch over her and keep her where she'll be there, Lord. Father, may she come back rejoicing and giving testimony. May she be a blessing to the saints there. Heavenly Father, Lord, at the end of the service, Lord, we want to look to you. Father, even in the week that's ahead, Lord, we don't know what lays ahead. But, Lord, how thankful we are that we know you, Lord. The one who holds the weak, Lord. So we pray for your protection, Lord. We pray you watch over us. We pray especially for your blessing. That when we're in our homes and we gather around your word, Lord, won't you come down, Lord, and bless your word, Lord God. Bless our homes, Father. Bless all that we'll do, Lord God. Father, that at the end of it, Lord, when we come next week, even as we anticipation, Lord, for baptism service, Lord, these are the things, Lord, that you have commissioned us to do. Lord God, so we pray that you'd be in it, Lord. Let it not be, Lord, mechanical. But we pray, oh God, that you'll anoint all that will be done, Lord. Father, and even the saints that will be baptized, Lord, on Friday. Lord, we want them not to just end there, but, Lord, to go all the way, Father. Lord, to be strong in the Lord, oh God. May you grant it, please, Lord. Grant all proceedings, Father God. Lord, please take everything under your control, Father. Lord, we pray now as we depart, Lord, from your house. But you know the desire of our heart is that your spirit would abide with us. Lord, please protect us in the highways, Lord. Father, in all that we'll do, please watch over us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, we pray if anyone, Lord, is somehow living with a burden still, won't you lift it, oh God?
Amen.
Meet every need, Father. We thank you once again for the time we've had in your house. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Brad. God bless you. Amen, Brad. Amen. God bless saints. Meet Friday evening, Wednesday evening, Friday evening, by the grace of God. Brother Tommy, those who weren't here, Brother Tommy will be here Friday evening. I think we announced it on Friday at prayer meeting anyhow. So if the trustees could just sort out the baptism pool, please, that would be a blessing. God bless you, saints. May the Lord be with you until we meet.
I don't know what Jesus loves me. Oh, I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. He left his mighty throne, he left his mighty throne in glory. Oh, thank you, Lord, to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. So glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad.